Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We are going to take 2 days to talk about Lord's Supper. It's an important subject. It's one that you might not realize there is some debate about. How should it be performed? What exactly is it? What's the purpose? That is what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to discuss today. So let's get right to today's interesting discussion about Lord's Supper. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure. I thought we were going to talk about your fixing your clock on your car.
Well, I did have a success this morning. I did change. We fell back recently. I recently changed the time of my Ford Escape. I was very excited because I haven't been able to do it in the last 6 years. Do you know how to do it? See, there's a little button that says clock.
Right. That's the first clue.
And you'd think that it'd be that easy, that you can just press it.
Well,
but
you have to hold it down.
No.
Not
holding it down doesn't work either.
Not
no.
on yours.
Know how you do it?
How?
You have to turn off your car. You have to just turn the key just so that it's in kind of like the halfway mode where the battery's operating. You have to turn on the radio, turn the dial down to zero, and make sure it's on AM, FM, not media or any of the other options. And then if you press the button, you can change the time. However, you'd think to set the time, that would be it. You just press the clock again. No, if you did, you'd have to start the process all over again,
exactly, which
I did 5 or 6 times. What you actually have to do is you have to turn the key and turn the car off to set the time.
Like, I cannot imagine it's really that complicated.
It was really that complicated. But know what else is complicated sometimes?
What is?
Church.
How is it complicated?
I think people have made it very complicated. And I'm reminded of a talk at our recent national conference by Bob Bryant.
It was a very good
on
message.
The doctrine of the church.
Yes, it was excellent.
I would really recommend people watch it. You can watch it at our YouTube site, GES Vids.
Yeah, they can just type in YouTube, all one word, space, Grace Evangelical Society. And when they go there, just click on videos. And you'll see 19 different conference messages, one of which is Bob Bryant on the church.
Right. A lot of people are wrestling with how to do church. And that was true in the beginning of the Reformation, right? Once the reformers came out and said, no, we don't think the Roman Catholic Church is doing things right. We need to reimagine how church is done and see how it's done in the scriptures. They looked for a model of how to do church. And do you know what model they turned to?
No, what?
Well, they were all university professors. And at these German universities, lectures were open to the public. And so when they started teaching the Bible, people would come and hear these lectures, and that's how the Reformation started. Luther teaching in Wittenberg and Calvin teaching in Geneva. But they're like, no, this university lecture thing is really working out for us. So you have the guy giving a lecture, and you have everyone, all the students sitting in pews, and we'll just add some songs, we'll add some prayers, and here we have a worship service.
Right.
But what Bob Bryant in his talk really highlighted for me is that's not really how the early Christians met for worship.
No, it's really not. He showed there was a Greek word, deipnon, which means supper, and he showed how in 1 Corinthians 11 that Paul's talking about the Last Supper. And he said that the Lord took the cup after supper, saying, do this in remembrance of me.
Right.
The Lord's Supper was actually wrapped around a meal.
If you read the book of Acts, and people have known this, people have been talking about this for a few decades now with the house church movement, with the small groups movement. But if you read the book of Acts, the early Christians came, and you're always reading about them meeting from house to house, breaking bread together. They're always eating together. But what's the significance of that? Were they just social? Do they like hanging out together?
Yeah.
Well, Bob Bryant argues that no, they were meeting as the church, the en ecclesia meeting.
En ecclesia is Greek for in the assembly or in the church.
Right. And so he goes to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And at the beginning of the chapter, Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. So Paul gave them instructions.
Right.
And he's praising them if they keep the traditions just as he has delivered unto them. So going down to verse 17, he says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. for, first of all, when you come together as a church, and that's the en ecclesia meeting, isn't it? That's
right.
The reference there. So Christians can meet for all kinds of different reasons, right? You can meet to have a bingo party. You can meet just to watch some movies or watch sports or just, I've seen some churches, the men get together and they change the oil for the ladies of the church or something like that. But there is a meeting as a church. There is the church meeting, the assembly.
Right. Here it says of first importance that when you come together, notice he's using this term come together in both 17 and 18. So that's the assembling together. And then he says en ecclesia, which in the interlinear says in church. But Bob Bryant was suggesting this was in the meeting of the local church. The New King James translates it as a church.
Right.
But in any case, he's talking about the meeting of the church in Corinth.
Now go down to verse 23, and Paul says, "For I received from the Lord." So where are these instructions coming from?
From the Lord Jesus Christ.
He's not just making these up. It's not just a cultural thing. He's receiving instructions from the Lord, and he's giving it to the people. He says, "Which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" This next point is the point I never saw before. Now, in most churches, what happens when you celebrate the Lord's Supper?
At most churches, there will be crackers and juice at the end of a service. So you will have your normal preaching service and your normal singing and everything. And then there'll be 5 or 10 minutes added on to the end where they will pass out first crackers, and then after they pick those up, then they will pass out small cups of grape juice. Or in some churches, they have a combination of grape juice and wine, and you pick. Then you will partake of that.
Right.
And typically, in most churches, that's once a month or maybe once a quarter.
So you take your little bit of cracker, and then immediately after, you take your little bit of juice, and you've just had the Lord's Supper in most churches.
Right.
But listen to what Paul says. So Jesus takes the bread.
This is 1 Corinthians 11, what?
23 and verse 24. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat.'" But then look at verse 25. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper." I just never saw this before, but Bob Bryant said, "What is the order here? The order is bread, supper, and then cup."
Right.
You take the cup after the supper. And he made a big point of saying this is the deipnon. And that is the ordinary Greek word. There's just no controversy about what this means. It's just the ordinary word for a meal, a dinner together, a full meal where you actually eat.
Right.
So his point was the breaking of the bread starts this Lord's Supper meeting. Then you have the supper itself. And then it seems to, I don't know if it concludes with the cup, but there's praying after the cup. But you have the meal there, and it's bread, supper, cup.
Yes, and notice Paul says he received this from the Lord. Now, it's not crystal clear whether Paul is saying he determined this from the accounts of the Last Supper, or more likely, I think what he means is the Lord met with him on several occasions. He was in Arabia for 3 years, and many people think the Lord met with him on multiple occasions. It's most likely, I think, that the Lord specifically instructed him along these lines.
So these are the instructions of how to meet as a church. And Bob Bryant made a strong argument that really this is the church meeting. You have to have the Lord's Supper in order to have a meeting en ecclesia as the church.
Right. I would encourage, if you're an elder or a deacon or a pastor, to encourage your church to, at the very least, have what people call communion or the Lord's Supper, or it's sometimes called the remembrance meeting, every week. Even if it's just 5 minutes at the end of the service, it seems to me it should be a regular occurrence. Now, better yet is to have a whole separate meeting around this, like you could have a lunch meeting or a supper meeting. That's what Bob Bryant was talking about. In his church, I think they're, what, Sunday night and Tuesday night. And Sunday morning, they have the traditional service, which they think of as more like the Bible teaching hour. But then they have a Lord's Supper meeting on Sunday night and on Tuesday night. And the reason they do it two separate nights is because they found that if you have more than about 40 or 50 people, it gets too unwieldy.
Ah. Now, your church, Victor Street Bible Chapel, that's how you guys meet. You have a meeting at the beginning, which you call Bible study, but a lot of people would think of as an evangelical church service. But then you have the Lord's Supper meeting after with a full meal.
Right. It used to be for many, many, many years, we would meet from 10:30 to noon, and then we would have a night meeting at 6, and at some points it started at 5, and it would be the full meal and everything else. The problem was, for people like me, I was driving almost an hour each way. So to drive there and back twice would be 3 hours of driving a day. And so what I took to doing was just going to the Lord's Supper meeting on Sunday night, and I would miss what we think of there as the Sunday school hour, the Bible teaching hour. But then we started having the Lord's Supper at 12:30. So then we would go from 10:30 to about noon. We'd have a break while the food was getting together and everything else. Then we would meet from 12:30 to about 2. So that way we didn't have to have a long gap in between. Regardless of how it's done, some churches even have a breakfast meal.
I've heard of breakfast church. I've heard of dinner church. Those are all movements that are happening, but I don't think they're doing it for the conviction that this is the meeting of the church.
Right. It should be the meeting of the church. Now, to some degree, if we're going to strictly follow what happened with the Last Supper, it should be in the evening. And what I would say is, although the Last Supper was in the evening, and the early church did meet in the evening because they had slaves in the local church that were working from morning to night, and they would not get off work until, you know, dusk, they would meet at night. But that doesn't mean we can't have it at lunch, and I would even say breakfast. And even the idea of just the crackers and juice, that's far better than doing nothing. I think the idea of having the Lord's Supper once every 3 months is a terrible mistake, because we need to keep the cross of Christ foremost in our thinking every week. Every week we need to remember his body was broken for us. That's the bread. That his blood was shed for us. That's the cup. And that gives us a wonderful sense of gratitude and anticipation, because Paul ends this by saying we're to do this until he returns.
Well, thank you, Bob. I think there's a lot to think about here, especially as we all try to reimagine what church is supposed to be according to the Bible, according to these God-given traditions that Paul expects us to follow. If you want to hear more about it, be sure to check out Bob Bryant's message on the doctrine of the church at our YouTube channel, GES Vids. See you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to continue our discussion about the Lord's Supper, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.